Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Left the board, and we're through eight innings at Wrigley Field with a score. Washington 4, Chicago 2.
You can hear every Nats game. Charlie Slows, you just heard. Dave Jagler right here on the Fan. Max Scherzer's the ace of the Nats. He joins us at 11. 11:18, I'm getting back into the Redskins. Scott McLuhan joined Twitter yesterday. That in and of itself is not a great story. It's not anything I would talk about on the air, except that he did a Q&A, basically, inadvertently perhaps, I don't know, or just on a whim, where he answered most of the questions that came his way from Redskins fans, very honestly. And it was a bunch of answers to questions that as a Redskins fan you would want to hear, that you've been curious about. So I'll tell you about that Q&A coming up at 11:18. That's must-listen stuff. You're going to want to be right here on Grant and Danny. We're talking Nats, though. Bullpen is fixed. Job well done, Mike Rizzo. Tip of the cap to you. What is your number one concern about this team moving forward? I already told you what mine is. It's that I'm not convinced they're going to have enough time to get everyone back up to full speed, and I already know exactly what's going to happen. Like, a guy like Michael Taylor is just going to take back over in center, and a guy like Jason Wirth will just take back over in left, and they're not going to position them in the lineup low in the order while they get their feet under them. They're going to put them right back in their traditional spots. You know, a guy like Jason Wirth is going to be hitting second and at the top of the order while they're not up to speed yet, and that is a prohibitive thing offensively. So that is my one concern, is if that happens for a couple weeks in the regular year and you're worse off for it, fine. If in October they're still not themselves, that's a problem. Let's go to the phones and start with Isaac in Fredericksburg. Isaac, what worries you about the Nats now that you can spend some time thinking about things other than the bullpen?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
My biggest worry is the offense. They're kind of driven by home runs, which always seem to dry up in the postseason. And a lot of their table setters, you know, the guys are supposed to get on the base in front of the big gun, are either guys that are just hitting way above their career averages, just hitting way above what they usually do, or, like you said, guys that are going to be coming off injury and just aren't hot yet. Guys tend to regress to the mean in the playoffs, and I'm just worried that the offense is going to dry up when it matters most.
Yeah, they hit 166 home runs so far this season. Only two teams in baseball have clobbered more, the Astros and the Rangers, neither in the National League. But know this about the Nationals. The Dodgers have 165 home runs, one fewer than Washington. They've played in one more game. If you look at runs scored, the Nats have actually scored almost 30 more runs than the Dodgers. So the Dodgers, the best team in the NL and the feared team in the league, are more reliant on the home run than Washington is. And that's kind of a trend in baseball at this point with some of the really good clubs. The Chicago Cubs, similarly, have hit 159 homers this year. They've only scored 530 runs. They're as or more reliant upon the home run than the Nationals. Those are the two lead contenders to knock them out of the playoffs. So if it's a problem for the Nats, isn't it a problem for them too? I've never really worried that much about that. As you saw in the October last year, they still hit their home runs. I'd rather you not have to live and die with it, but they're better now than they were at any point over the last few years at manufacturing runs. Trey Turner, theoretically, is going to be at short as a catalyst who can steal bases. Brian Goodwin, probably coming off the bench with speed, can help you create run-scoring opportunities. Wilmer Defoe, coming off the bench late innings, can steal bases. Athleticism at positions like third with Rendon, in the outfield with Bryce in right, if Severino gets a day catching and or comes off the bench with his speed, they have the kind of guys that can create and build a run. Ted and Bethesda, go ahead.
I agree with you about the bullpen, but the gorilla in the room is the starting pitching. They've got only three pitchers worthy of the playoffs. We all know who they are, and if anything happens to any one of them, we're in big trouble.
Are you counting Strasburg as one of the three? Reliable.
Pardon?
Are you counting Strasburg, who's not with them right now, as one of the three?
Of course.
So then you're not counting Roark, who's pitched really well in three of his last four. I think they've got four playoff caliber starters. Now, I want more sample from Roark, and we're going to get another chance to see him as this Marlins series continues at Nationals Park now. Scherzer in game one, you don't have to worry about him at all. He's going to go out and shove. Question is, can he match zeros with a Clayton Kershaw? Can he match zeros with a John Lester? Gio Gonzalez is going to pitch game three after Strasburg. Strasburg's health's a quote-unquote concern, but at this point, we just have to believe it, Mike Rizzo and this team, when they say Rizzo legitimately told the Junkies today he'd be pitching if they didn't have such a big lead. So that tells me they're not that concerned. So Strasburg in game two. By the way, he's pitched once ever in the playoffs, and he wasn't particularly good. But he's got postseason stuff. So let's say that he can throw effectively enough to give you a chance in that start. Gio Gonzalez is third in the league in earned run average right now. It goes Kershaw, Scherzer, Gio. He's your game three starter. Roark, four starts since the All-Star break, has been great in three of them. Has a 2.86 ERA in the last month now. If he can continue pitching this way, I'd be comfortable with him in the playoffs. He's got a firm 95, 96-mile-an-hour fastball and can miss bats. But he's got to keep throwing the way that he is, or else I agree with you. You're talking about maybe Max Scherzer on short rest. Because if Roark regresses again and his ERA is back up around 5 when the season ends, and he's struggling, I don't want him throwing in a game 4. Kevin in Hagerstown, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Grant. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment that sports are a game of streaks, and it just fears me that the bats are just going to go totally cold, and you're going to get some weird stat when they're down 2-0 about the top four hitters, only 3-for-35 in the series. And if I can make a little bit of an analogy real quick, Brendan Holtby back in the playoffs, he had an okay series with the Penguins, but it wasn't quite what we are accustomed to be. So I'm just worried about the bats just kind of just turning into nothing, and then next you know we're in a hole. And
yeah, every team could have that concern, though, right? I mean, they could be having this conversation in Boston with the Red Sox and Houston with the Astros and L.A. with the Dodgers, all the teams that are playoff-bound. Well, what if our bats dry up in the playoffs? Well, yeah, you're facing good pitching, much better pitching than you do in the regular year. But if you got a really good lineup, the chances of that happening are lesser, and the Nats are one of two teams in baseball with over 600 runs scored. They're the only team in the NL who scored 600 runs this season. So, yes, some of all fears, your offense could stop scoring runs. That's true. That could happen with anybody. One note on that offense, though. Ryan Zimmerman's batting average by month. 420 in April, 319 in May, 283 in June, 234 in July, 087 in August. His average has gone down every single month this season. He is hitting right now, post-All-Star break, in almost 80 at-bats, 195. Now, he stays batting fourth in the lineup because Dusty doesn't make changes, but he should be moved down to the sixth spot, probably. They need to get a little bit more out of Zim moving ahead. No matter what, it's going to go down as a great year for him in a renaissance, and I'm proud of the guy because a lot of people were leaving him for dead, essentially, as an impact bat. But hitting sub-200 for an extended period of time and as a cleanup bat is going to make your lineup worse. That number by number, every single month going down, as I just read to you, that's not an opinion, that's fact there. And that's hard to argue. Max Scherzer of the Nationals joins us next. Scott McLuhan, Q&A with fans on Twitter at 11:18. You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.